Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Halloween edition of the Feminization Boudoir podcast from Candy Apple Press. I am your host, Kylie Gable, and this week we have our special guest, Mistress DJ. Hi, DJ.
Hey, Kylie. How are you tonight?
I am doing really well. It is actually Saturday night, and we are recording the Halloween special a couple of days early. We have a lot of audios this year. I think it's going to be 3 on the free podcast and 5 on the premium. And we're just going to sit back here and enjoy a lot of audio content. And Halloween, I think I said this to you before, Christmas sells at Christmas time. Halloween sells all year round. And Halloween is like this Halloween special is probably my favorite podcast to do every year. It's definitely one of our bigger ones. And we have got a ton of great audio. A lot of it is on Clips for Sale. If you are interested, what is your favorite audio for Halloween we have done, DJ?
Oh, gosh. Now there is so many. I enjoy writing them, as you know, and I definitely enjoy reading them. I'm an avid horror reader and writer. Boy, my favorite throwback one is probably Pegging Sue. Okay. My favorite current one might be, it's a new one that's coming out. I don't know if you have it out yet or not. It's Halloween Angel. It's a real fun story. I like it. And then, of course, you know, I guess I should brag on some of the stuff I've written. I wrote a fun one with Shayla about two gals working at a spirit store, very timely for the season. And it's pretty good, too. So I'd say those are probably my top three, though. You know, you really can't go wrong with Halloween and feminization combined.
Oh, I agree. Halloween Angel is definitely on the menu tonight for both podcasts. And I think the Spirit Store one is up for the premium, although I might sure I might wind up being on both as well. I don't know if this counts as a Halloween story, but I'm really fond of Camp Femdom, which is one of the older stories I wrote.
That's a great one. That's a great one.
Yeah. That one, it's based on the whole, there's a killer out there and he keeps picking them off one by one. And somehow they're dumb enough to keep, hey, I better go check the fuse box as they wander off into the dark.
Very yeah. Camp Crystal Lake, but it's Camp Femdom. It's really called Fendon, but, yeah. You know, we call it Camp Femdom. And it's very Camp Crystal Lake. And those of us doms, I'm in it. Amberlee's in it. There's a few other names that you guys know out there, and we're the ones that I think are picking these sissies off one at a time. So it's fun.
I think you actually may have been the first audio you ever recorded for me, actually.
It's definitely the first full-length one. I don't know if I had done a short one before that or not, but it's definitely the first full-length one I did.
And I like the Spirit Store, too, because the previous story where you and Shayla teamed up, it was against me, and this story, I am not the victim. So
no, you're not in this one. Darn it.
I'm sure the next one will probably change that. So,
yeah, it may.
So speaking of Halloween Angel, one of the cool things about Halloween Angel is it was a commission, and I'll do those if you email me at KylieGable@yahoo.com. If I can publish it, then it's not that expensive. Actually, I think my rates are about as cheap as they get. And this one was on not Clips for Sale, but I Want Clips. And it wasn't for a Halloween story, but it had a goth girl and it had other elements that I thought made a pretty good Halloween, you know, basis. And so I wrote the story as a Halloween story, and you recorded it, and the customer was just thrilled with it. And so I kind of like it. I like the fact that it killed two birds with one stone, and also I think it really worked as a Halloween story.
Yeah, she was a great lead character in it. It was just a fun story. The goth girl was amazing. Very well-written story and just fun to read even. It was fun to breathe life into the characters. So, yeah, a great story all around.
One of the things I like about commissions, too, is they get me to write in a way that I wouldn't necessarily write. So, you know, I tend to go, okay, here's the dom, and she's going to feminize the guy. Here's the guy, he's going to be feminized. And there's supporting characters in there for, you know, interest, or maybe they have a special skill or something. And in this case, it was, there's the dom, who isn't really the main character at first. He's interested in her friend, and she doesn't think he's good enough for her friend. And it's like, okay, that's something that I haven't really written before, you know, the dom trying to prevent a relationship. And so it made me write characters I wouldn't normally write.
Well, like I said, they were well-written characters, well-rounded. You can, when you get to know these characters, you're going to feel for both sides. I mean, most of the time, you know me, I'm going to side with the dom in the situation.
Oh, yeah.
But in this one, you know, you found yourself pulling even for the guy. You really did. And so it's just a great story.
So for both the premium and the free podcast, you're going to get to hear it in its entirety, which is, I believe, according to my notes, 22 minutes and 44 seconds. So without further ado, here is the complete Halloween Angel.
Zach paced back and forth in his college dorm room, his heart racing with anticipation. He checked his reflection in the mirror for what felt like the 100th time that night, adjusting his glasses and fidgeting with his costume. Where's Waldo was so lame. Nobody even knew those books anymore. Katie's Halloween party was just a few hours away, and he wanted to make sure everything was perfect. "All right, Zach," he muttered to himself. "You can do this." At first glance, Zach didn't look like a university student. His scrawny frame certainly didn't scream college to anyone who saw him. His messy brown hair seemed to have a mind of its own, no matter how many times he tried to tame it. The thick, black-rimmed glasses perched on his nose only added to his nerdy appearance. Okay, deep breaths," Zach said, trying to calm his nerves as he smoothed out the wrinkles in his costume. He hoped it wasn't too obvious that he borrowed it from his younger brother. The last thing he needed was for someone to point out that it was slightly ill-fitting. With a final sigh, he grabbed his keys and headed out the door, determined to make the most of the night ahead. As Zach made his way to Katie's, he couldn't help but daydream about Raven. He imagined her long, coal-black hair cascading around her shoulders, her dark makeup accentuating her piercing green eyes as she smiled at him from across the room. The thought of her full, voluptuous figure, clad in some enticing gothic ensemble, sent a shiver down his spine. The thing was, she wasn't just a crush. He'd had the courage to talk to her a few times, and it really felt like they had some chemistry. "Focus, Zach," he chastised himself, adjusting the awkwardly sized costume once more and feeling the fabric tug uncomfortably against his scrawny frame. "She's just a girl. You could talk to her." Before he knew it, he was at Katie's. Stepping into the dimly lit apartment, he surveyed the subdued atmosphere of the party. Shadows danced along the walls, cast by flickering candles and eerie decorations. A soft, haunting melody filled the air, adding an unsettling ambience to the gathering. Zach's anxiety threatened to overwhelm him, but he pressed on, scanning the room for any sign of Raven. Finally, his gaze fell upon her. Sitting on the couch with a friend, she was even more beautiful than he imagined. Her long black hair was tied into an intricate braid that hung down her back, its glossy strands reflecting shades of blue in the candlelight. Her face was delicately framed by thin eyeliner and dark lipstick, emphasizing her striking features and intense green eyes. She wore a deep purple dress with delicate lace trimming that hugged her curves in all the right places. "Hi, Raven," he practiced under his breath. "I really like your costume." "No, that's stupid. That's probably not even a costume. Have you been to many of these parties before?" "No, that's too boring." "Earth to Zach," a voice snapped him out of his reverie. Startled, he looked up to see Katie smirking at him, clearly amused by his preoccupation. "Hi, Katie," he stammered, feeling the heat rush to his cheeks as he struggled to find his words. "Nice, decorations. Really spooky." Thanks. I put a lot of effort into it. She chuckled at his awkwardness, a knowing smirk playing upon her lips. By the way, love the costume. You're the only one who dressed up, though. So unique. Zach glanced around the room, realizing she was right. There were only 6 people at the party, including himself, Raven, and Katie. 3 other girls, none of whom Zach recognized, sat chatting quietly amongst themselves. He felt out of place in his ill-fitting costume, amidst the casual attire of everyone else. Wait, really? Nobody else is wearing a costume? Zach's voice wavered as he tried to hide his embarrassment. It's a Halloween party, after all. Guess everyone else didn't get the memo, Katie said, her laughter barely concealing the edge of mockery in her voice. But hey, maybe they'll be inspired by your enthusiasm. Maybe, Zach muttered under his breath, trying to shake off the humiliation. His gaze shifted back to Raven, his heart racing as he contemplated approaching her. Go on, then, Katie whispered into his ear, her breath warm against his skin. Don't keep your dream girl waiting. What? I'm not, he sputtered, flustered by her insinuation. Relax, Zach, she grinned, giving him a playful shove. Just teasing. Have fun. As the hostess sauntered away to mingle with her other guests, Zach took a deep breath, trying to muster the courage to introduce himself to Raven. And despite the unsettling atmosphere that surrounded him, he couldn't help but feel a sense of anticipation. This night was about to take an interesting turn. Hey, everyone, Katie called out, clapping her hands together to grab the attention of the small gathering. Let's play Spin the Bottle. It'll be a fun icebreaker. Zach's heart skipped a beat as he glanced at Raven, who seemed unfazed by the suggestion. He swallowed hard and nodded hesitantly, trying to mask his excitement. The opportunity to get closer to Raven was too good to pass up, but he couldn't help feeling nervous about the unpredictable nature of the game. On the bright side, there were no other guys there, so he'd be getting a lot of female attention. Great idea, Katie, he stammered, taking a seat on the floor with the others as they formed a circle. His pulse raced in anticipation, palms dampening with sweat. All right, Katie exclaimed, placing an empty bottle in the center of the circle. Let's start. Remember, whoever the bottle points to when it stops spinning has to kiss the person next to them. No chickening out. As the game began, Zach couldn't help but scrutinize each spin of the bottle, watching intently as it slowed down and landed on one of the participants. Laughter and teasing filled the room as the girls exchanged pecks on the cheek or lips, their playful banter only heightening Zach's nervousness. Come on, Zach, lighten up, Raven teased, catching him off guard. It's just a game. Yeah, I know, he stammered, forcing a smile. Just never played before, that's all. First time for everything, right? She winked, and Zach felt his face flush at her remark. Right, he agreed, his thoughts a whirlwind of excitement and anxiety. What if the bottle never pointed to him? Or worse, what if it did? The bottle continued to spin around the circle, eliciting giggles and smirks from the participants. With each turn, Zach's heart hammered against his chest, the anticipation becoming almost unbearable. Your turn, Zach, Katie said, a mischievous glint in her eye as she nudged the bottle towards him. With a shaky breath, Zach reached out and gave the bottle a spin, silently praying for luck. As it whirred around, time seemed to slow down, each revolution feeling like an eternity. And then, gradually, the bottle began to lose momentum, inching closer and closer to its final destination. The bottle came to a halt, and Zach wanted to jump up and down right there as it pointed directly at Raven. For a moment, he was paralyzed, his mind racing with elation. Looks like it's your lucky day, Zach, Raven smirked, her dark eyes twinkling with mischief. Yeah, he stammered, struggling to maintain eye contact as he leaned in. As their faces drew closer, the intoxicating scent of her perfume filled his nostrils, making his head swim with desire. Tentatively, he pressed his lips against her smooth, pale cheek, feeling a thrill mixed with embarrassment coursing through him. Ah, that was cute, one of the girls teased, causing Zach to blush even more. The door swung open with a loud creak, drawing the attention of everyone in the room. Ryan stepped into the dimly lit space, his muscular frame filling the doorway. His presence was like a dark cloud that sent a shiver down the spines of those who knew him. A smirk played on his lips as he surveyed the party, his eyes gleaming with mischief. "Look who decided to show up," Katie muttered under her breath, rolling her eyes. Ryan was Katie's ex-boyfriend. Zack knew that much, but he never got the idea that they were still close. Zack's heart caught in his throat as he locked eyes with Ryan. The unease that settled over him was thick and palpable. He'd heard stories about Ryan, how he enjoyed throwing his weight around and asserting his dominance. Zack had never been good at standing up to bullies, especially when they were built like brick walls. "Hey, everybody, party's just getting started now," Ryan announced, with a swagger only he could pull off as he made his way over to the spin-the-bottle game. "Yo, Raven," Ryan called out, his voice dripping with mock sweetness. "Didn't expect to see your pretty little face here tonight." "Cut the crap, Ryan," Katie spat back, crossing her arms over her chest. She knew he was just trying to get a rise out of her, and she refused to give him the satisfaction. "Who's this little guy?" Ryan asked, his tone dripping with condescension, as he sauntered over to Zack. Panic bubbled up in Zack's chest as he tried to think of something clever or witty to say, anything to avoid becoming Ryan's next target. "Hi," was all Zack managed to stammer out, cursing himself for sounding so weak and pathetic. "Hi?" "That's it?" Ryan laughed, his voice booming. "God, Katie, you really know how to pick 'em." "Leave him alone, Ryan," Katie warned. Her eyes burned with a ferocity that made even Ryan hesitate for a moment. "No need to get defensive," said Ryan. "We're just introducing ourselves." "Let's get back to the game," Katie offered, grabbing the empty bottle from the floor. "Everyone ready?" Zack's heart raced with anticipation, his eyes fixated on Raven's dark lipstick. As he rubbed his sweaty palms on his jeans, his thoughts were solely focused on the possibility of kissing her. He barely registers Katie's words as he nodded along with the others. Unbeknownst to him, Katie had figured out how to manipulate the spin just enough to land on Ryan instead of Raven. With a sly grin, she sent the bottle spinning. The bottle whirred, its rotations gradually slowing down. Every tick seemed to echo in Zack's head as it approached Raven. The room held its breath, waiting for fate to decide the outcome. But then, to Zack's horror, the bottle teetered past Raven and landed directly on Ryan. "Looks like you're up, little guy," Ryan smirked, flexing his biceps for emphasis. The room erupted in laughter, and Zack felt his face turn crimson under their amused gazes. I have to kiss him?" asked Zack. "Come on, don't be shy," Ryan taunted, leaning towards Zack with an expectant look on his face. With no other choice, Zack leaned in and planted a quick, awkward peck on Ryan's cheek. It felt like kissing sandpaper. The scent of Ryan's cologne was overpowering. Zack pulled away as quickly as possible, trying not to gag. "Ah, that wasn't so bad, was it?" Ryan teased, grinning at Zack's obvious discomfort. The laughter continued, and Zack couldn't help but glance over at Raven, who seemed amused by the situation. "Your turn to spin, Zack," Katie prompted, her voice dripping with feigned innocence. She knew she'd struck a nerve, and the malicious satisfaction coursed through her veins. Zack hesitated for a moment, his mind racing with humiliation and frustration before reaching out to spin the bottle once more. "Come on, luck be on my side," Zack muttered under his breath as the bottle spun around. He knew he had to focus and keep his eyes on the prize. Raven. Surprisingly, the bottle began to slow down and finally landed on her. "Looks like you got your wish, Zack," Raven said with a playful smile, her dark lipstick shimmering in the dim light of the room. "Finally," Zack thought, relieved. He leaned in and pressed his lips against Raven's, feeling the softness and the warmth was everything he imagined it would be. Her scent was intoxicating, a mix of lavender and vanilla that enveloped him and made his heart race. As they pulled apart, Raven left a lipstick mark on his lips, a trophy of his achievement. "Nice one, Zack," one of the other girls cheered, and Zack could feel his confidence beginning to return. The tension in the room increased as everyone realized that he was only one spin away from achieving his goal of 7 minutes in heaven with Raven. The other players took their turns, and neither Zack nor Ryan were selected. Zack kind of liked watching the girls kiss each other. "All right, let's go for another spin," Zack announced, his voice steadier than before. He sent the bottle spinning again, his mind filled with alternating thoughts of hope and apprehension. Please, just one more spin on Raven, he silently prayed. I can't go through another humiliation like that. As the bottle slowed down, the room seemed to hold its breath alongside of him. Every eye was fixed on the splitting glass, waiting to see if Zack would achieve his ultimate goal or face another humiliating setback. The bottle spin began to decelerate, and Zack's heart pounded in his chest as he watched it point to Ryan yet again. As the room erupted into laughter, Zack couldn't figure out what was happening. Zack tried to brush it off, casting a sheepish grin at the crowd while leaning in to peck Ryan on the cheek. He told himself it was no big deal, just another minor setback. Another round saw one of the girls who actually was quite cute give him a kiss. But now it was Zack's turn again. All right, Zack mumbled, spinning the bottle again. Let's get this over with. But as the bottle landed on Ryan for the third time, the atmosphere shifted. The laughter died down, replaced by uneasy silence. Ryan smirked as he stood up, flexing his muscles, before closing the gap between them. Ready for round two, buddy? Ryan asked, his voice dripping with condescension. Zack hesitated, his mind racing. It's just a stupid game, he thought, trying to reassure himself. Just one more kiss and I can move on. He leaned in, aiming for another quick peck. But Ryan had other plans. As their lips met, Ryan shoved his tongue into Zack's mouth, forcing him into a passionate, uninvited makeout session. The room exploded with hoots and cheers, and Zack struggled to keep his composure. Okay, okay, he choked out, pushing Ryan away. That's enough. Looks like you two are getting pretty cozy, Katie teased from across the room, clearly enjoying the spectacle. It's just a game, protested Zack. Aren't you forgetting something? Asked Katie. What? Sighed Zack. 7 minutes in heaven, replied Katie, drawing out every syllable, causing every girl in the room to laugh at Zack's embarrassment. Absolutely, Ryan agreed, grinning maliciously. You're up for that, right, Zack? Zack stammered, glancing around the room for any sign of support. Great, Katie chimed in. But first, we need to make you look the part. She turned to the group of girls behind her and whispered something into their ears. They nodded conspiratorially and beckoned Zack over. Come on, Angela, one girl giggled as they led him away. Time for your makeover. No way, I'm not going to get made over, and I'm not doing 7 minutes in heaven, protested Zack. Do you want us to do it to you gently, or do you want us to get Ryan to help? Asked Angela. Fine, but nothing too crazy, replied Zack. The girls led Zack into Katie's bedroom and closed the door behind them, leaving him in the center of the room with an air of uncertainty. He could feel their eyes on him, sizing him up like he was a piece of meat. First things first, said Katie as she ran into her bathroom and returned with a can of shaving cream and several disposable razors. We need to make those legs silky smooth. Everything was happening so fast. Soon, the girls had him completely stripped. He looked to Raven for support, but she was clearly enjoying herself as she motioned for him to sit on the edge of the bed, and he hesitantly complied. Wait, Zack began, but his protest was cut short as another girl squirted shaving cream onto her hand and slathered it onto his legs. Raven worked on his chest. He could see Katie smirking at his embarrassment. Relax, Angela, she cooed mockingly. You'll look stunning once we're done with you. As the razor glided across his skin, Zack couldn't help but wince at the sensation of his body hair being stripped away. Next up, makeup, another girl announced, brandishing a collection of cosmetics. We need to make those eyes pop. Zack tried to remain stoic as they applied mascara, eyeliner, and eyeshadow, turning his face into a canvas of blues and blacks. He felt a sense of helplessness, and each stroke of the brush further transported him into someone unrecognizable. Almost done. I have just the thing for you, said Katie, as she slipped a pair of lacy powder blue panties and a matching baby doll onto him. The fabric clung to his newly shaved skin, making him feel even more exposed than before. Matching lace stockings completed the ensemble, while spiked heels made him teeter precariously. With each added piece of clothing, his humiliation grew exponentially. Let's not forget the wings, another girl chimed in, adding a pair of large feathered wings to his back. Now you're a true angel. Ready for your grand reveal? Katie asked, smirking as she threw open the bedroom door. Zack took a deep breath, his face burning with embarrassment, and stepped out into the hallway. Introducing Angela, our very own Victoria's Secret Angel, Katie announced to Ryan, who erupted in laughter and cheers as he gawked at Zach's transformation. Damn, Angela, you clean up nice, Ryan called out, grinning ear to ear. I can't wait for our little rendezvous in the closet. As Ryan grabbed his hand and led him towards their 7 minutes in heaven, Zach couldn't believe how terribly wrong things had gone. He was supposed to go into the closet with Raven, but he had no choice but to play along and hope for the best, whatever that might be. The closet door closed behind them, plunging Zach into darkness. He could feel Ryan's warm breath on his neck as they stood face to face in the confined space. Despite the humiliation, Zach tried to focus on his goal, to emerge from this ordeal unscathed and hopefully still have a shot with Raven. All right, Angela, Brian whispered, his muscular arms wrapping around Zach's waist, pulling him closer. Let's make this worth our while. Before Zach could protest or brace himself, Brian's lips crashed onto his own, sending a shockwave through his body. Their mouths melded together, with Ryan's tongue forcefully exploring every corner of Zach's mouth. It was a passionate, intense makeout session that left no room for resistance. Play along, Zach, he told himself, trying to quell the rising panic in his chest. Just play along, and it'll be over soon. As the minutes ticked by, Zach found himself giving in to the moment. His body may have been there with Zach, but his mind was a million miles away. In the dark closet, he pretended it was Raven he was making out with. Time's up, Katie's voice called out, jolting Zach back to reality as the closet door swung open. Light flooded in, temporarily blinding him as he stumbled out of the small space. Thanks for the heavenly time, Angela, Ryan said with a wink, causing the girls to laugh at them. Ryan, darling, Katie cooed, sweeping up to him with a wicked gleam in her eyes, her gaze locked on the smeared lipstick marks Zach had left on Ryan's neck, chest, and face, and she couldn't contain her laughter. Looks like our angel left a few souvenirs. The room erupted in raucous laughter at Katie's words, and Zach felt the heat of embarrassment sear his cheeks once more. He desperately wanted to escape, to find a corner where he could shrink into invisibility, but it seemed fate had other plans. Come on, everyone, Katie called out, still grinning with malicious delight. Let's give Angela a round of applause for her performance. As the humiliating applause rang in his ears, Zach tried to cling to the hope that this night would eventually end, and maybe, just maybe, Raven would see past all the chaos and humiliation to the person he truly was. Zach scanned the room, searching for Raven, who was the only reason he hadn't run away from the party, never to look back. His heart sank as he spotted her in a dimly lit corner, entwined with a guy he had never seen before. They were lost in each other, their lips locked together in an intimate embrace. The sight hit him like a punch to the gut, shattering his hopes and dreams in an instant. Raven, he whispered under his breath, and the name tasted bitter on his tongue. He felt a pang of jealousy and anger coursing through him, but he knew he had no right to be angry. After all, he'd just been kissing Ryan himself. Attention, everyone, Ryan's boomy voice echoed through the room, drawing Zach out of his thoughts. I've decided that I'm taking Angela home with me tonight. A chorus of whistles and cheers erupted around them, followed by a few catcalls. Are you kidding me, Zach thought, panic setting in as he realized this night was far from over. Katie approached him with a wicked smile playing on her lips, her eyes sparkling with mischief. Oh, Angela, she purred, smacking him playfully on his behind. You're going to be the best sissy girlfriend any guy ever had. What? Zach stammered, feeling his face flush with a mixture of fear and humiliation. Tomorrow at noon, Angela, Katie said, her voice dripping with satisfaction. I'll be waiting for you. We're going to have so much fun turning you into the perfect little sissy for our dear Ryan. I know you wanted to leave with Raven, but she's having a great time without you. Have fun.
And that was Halloween Angel, written by myself and recorded by Mistress DJ. And since we're both here, I guess that was a appropriate one to lead off with. And so Halloween is sort of the traditional sissy Halloween. You know, that's the, you know, traditional sissy celebration, sissy party. In some ways, I think Christmas is actually the better sissy holiday, just because you can buy anything for Christmas and people will just think it's a present without looking at you twice. But you know, any fond ideas for Halloween that you have either tried or always wanted to try?
You know, what I really like about Halloween is, from the Dom point of view, is that I can have my guys go out dressed pretty much in anything you can imagine. I can have them go shop for pretty much anything you can imagine. Everything from makeup to wigs to underpinnings to outfits to we can have them go drag and go way over the top with it. We could have them dress as your 9-to-5 secretary kind of girl, or anything in between. And what's great about it is that it's an automatic pass. If you're nervous, if you know you have a partner at home and can't be caught with it, or if you have, you know, you're known about town and, you know, people just die if they found out that you cross-dressed or whatever it is, you've got a perfect excuse. You know, it's I'm getting ready for a Halloween party, I lost a dare, whatever it is. It gives you a perfect excuse. So to me, I would say what I would really like to do someday, and this may be something I do with you, Kylie, I would love to go in person with a sissy and shop together for like a matching Halloween outfit that's on the trampier side. You know the rule, ears and a tail on some lingerie, and that makes you, you know, that makes the outfit, a la Mean Girls. I would love to do that with a sissy in person. I have not had the opportunity to do that. So I guess on the bucket list of Halloween things I'd love to do and haven't got to do, that would be on my list. And it would be something kind of matching, you know, slutty bunnies or slutty cats or whatever it is, that type of a look. Yeah.
See, that's interesting because, you know, I have the different Halloween experience, which is, I mean, I know I love Mean Girls. It's a great movie. But the other really humiliating Halloween costume, really, really alpha male masculine Halloween costume, but the sexy girl version of it. So
a sexy construction worker or something exactly. Like that.
Okay. So okay. With your flannel shirt tied off just below your bra and your short shorts and high heeled boots on, you're a construction worker. You know?
Only if you have a pink hammer.
And then, yeah, but then you've got the whole, you know, wow, why do you look different than the other construction worker? You know? So.
Right.
That one comes from experience. But yeah, the, you know, that's a good point. There's definitely a bunch of ways to go about Halloween. So the one thing on our notes that I did say I wanted to talk about in the middle here is the premium podcast. And since DJ is here today, we don't have to have the recording about why it's important, but yeah, Spotify was friendly with all us adult content podcasters when they bought Anchor. And I just heard from Miss Jen, and by the way, I have a new audio that'll be coming out from her in December. I just, you know, I heard from her that she lost her sponsorship, and I've lost my sponsorship. And like when I wrote to Spotify about why I lost it, they were like, you know, you're putting adult content on, and if we catch you doing anything like this, we'll, you know. So I'm like, oh, the podcast has been around for several years now. I want to make sure that I can keep doing it. So anything that I think is going to be kind of tricky, and last week's podcast was kind of tricky, I'm going to always try to err on the side of nothing that's going to get me in trouble, nothing that's going to get the podcast pulled. Whereas with the premium podcast, because it's, you know, under a it's you know, subscriber only, we can get away with a little bit more. So
I had something similar happen as far as a warning goes. Now my podcast isn't probably even half the size of yours, and mine is just quite honestly audios that I think people might enjoy, give them a taste of what I do. But I did get the same warning, and so I think, you know, we do need to err on the side of caution. So the good thing about your premium podcast that you've got going is that you can do the unedited, full length, you know, kind of no holds barred like your books, you know, and not be concerned about it. I do think they're watching us, because I got a similar warning, and my stuff is probably equal on level of yours. And so, you know, if I'm getting warned, they'll probably come after you too. So to have the full length with all the spice, you know, all the good parts, the parts we all wait for, you know, behind a safe wall, I think that's really the way to go.
One of the things that, like, I do rely on, though, that helps, I think, is the fact that we are fetish erotica. I remember before I was ever into this, there was like one of those like children's television shows, and the boys all went skinny dipping, and the neighborhood girls like left them dresses and took their clothes. And it was like all innocent and nobody thought anything odd about it. And it pretty much could have followed one of my, you know, it could have been one of the plots for one of my stories. So
I think that happened on Little House on the Prairie, but go ahead. Yeah, I think so.
So that's one of those where my you know, some of my plots, if someone didn't know they were fetish, they would just think, oh, you know, those silly college kids. And so, or, you know, wow, well, the things that go on in that office, you know, I mean, I just don't know that censors are looking at like the secretaries who gang up and trick their boss into coming to work in a woman's business suit any different than, you know, Jim tricking Dwight into wearing a chicken suit to work on The Office or something. So that's the other thing we rely on. So speaking of audio, maybe we should get back to that. The next one is written by me and has been recorded by Victoria Vaughn, one of my, you know, favorite writers. She wrote some great stuff this summer, and I'm hoping, not only doing audios, that she will be writing again very soon. She writes way longer than I do, and just does some great stuff. And I love her voice for audio as well. So this
she's
is called
prolific. Yeah, she's very prolific. I'm looking forward to this one.
This is called The Sissy's Reflection. And this one, I don't write a lot of supernatural stories. This one has a supernatural twist to it, too, at the end.
There are a lot of stereotypes about sissies that just aren't true. They're not all losers or wimps, and they're not even all effeminate in their daily life. The one stereotype about sissies that is completely true is that they are totally obsessed with their appearances when they're dolled up. Put a sissy in front of a mirror, and they just can easily kill an hour posing and flirting with their own reflection. It's always been amusing to me, really. There was one sissy that I used to enjoy dominating and dressing up. Let's call her Jill. Jill was a beautiful girl, and she knew it. She was in town for a convention, and she booked us a suite at a very historic hotel where she knew we wouldn't be disturbed. It was built in 1905 and had a sort of Victorian charm that more modern hotels lacked. Though there was a lack of some amenities, even after several renovations. I was quite taken with the quaint hotel. I knocked on the door of his suite, and he greeted me dressed only in a fluffy white bathrobe, compliments of the hotel. "I expected you to at least be dressed," I said, looking very imposing as I took off my trench coat and revealed my black leather catsuit. "I'm sorry, mistress. I thought I'd bathe and shave off my body hair first," she said meekly. "Very well," I said. "Let's go to the bath." She had outfitted the bathroom with candles, and there were rose petals on the tub. It looked luxurious, but I certainly wasn't in the mood to watch Jill soak in the luxurious bath while I sat on a cold porcelain toilet. Frankly, I could think of better ways to spend an evening. Still, I did enjoy playing with Jill, so I let him lay back in the warm water while I took a disposable razor and removed the hair from his body. I gave him a very close shave without nicking him even once. Afterwards, I helped him towel off with a fluffy white towel. "Thank you, mistress," she said, as I helped her dry off. "Thank me now," I said. "I'm going to have my way with you later." Soon I heard her dolled up in a pair of black lace panties and a matching bustier. I had her step into a black leather miniskirt followed by an absolutely gorgeous pair of thigh-high black leather boots with a 5-inch heel. Despite the sexy black leather catsuit I was wearing, I could see that she was trying to look past me at her own image in an antique full-length mirror on the closet door. I slapped her hard on the right cheek and then backhanded her on the left. "What do you think you're doing?" I demanded. I'm so sorry, mistress," she stammered. "I just got distracted." "I don't know what I'm going to do with you, sissy," I said. "Your own reflection turns you on more than anything I could ever do." Fortunately for Jill, doing her hair and makeup was next, which meant she could stare at a reflection till her heart's content. I took great care doing Jill's makeup. Every once in a while, you run across a sissy who is so beautiful that she really is like an artist's canvas, and it just seems like too much of a shame to do anything less than your best on her makeup, no matter how she might annoy you at times. I use green and gold eyeshadow and volumizing mascara to make her eyes pop, and with the right foundation, her skin looked flawless. Her lips formed a delightful bright red Cupid's bow. Once her makeup was done, I placed a magnificent wavy blonde wig on her head. Even I had to stand back for a moment to admire her beauty. I was proud that I had helped create it. That didn't mean I wasn't going to punish her for the sight I suffered earlier. I helped her up from the chair, and reaching into my bag, I pulled out a pair of steel handcuffs. I gently pulled her arms behind her, but then firmly locked her wrists in place behind our back. "Since you seem to love your reflection so much, you're going to make love to it," I said. Even as I was talking to her, I could see that she was partially focusing on the full-length mirror. I led her over to it directly in front of the reflection and told her to take it all in. She looked herself up and down from her wig to her boots, and I could tell she was getting turned on. "Isn't she a beautiful woman? Go ahead and fuck her," I said, pushing her softly but firmly into the mirror. Picking up my riding crop from my toy bag, I smacked her once again on the back of the thighs between her boot and her miniskirt. Soon, she was humping the floor, just like I had told her. "Keep fucking her, sissy. Isn't she a beautiful woman?" I asked. "Yes, mistress," she replied, her breath already ragged. I could see that she was about to come, so I encouraged her. She fucked her own reflection harder and harder. I could hear her grunting, and I couldn't help but smile. It was such a humiliating way to come, but she didn't care. She was loving it. "Oh, mistress, I'm going to come," she announced. "Go ahead, sissy," I gave her permission. She moaned in pleasure, and just like that, she was gone. I stood there dumbfounded. Somehow she had disappeared right in front of me, leaving only a puddle of her own cum dripping down the mirror to the floor below. I looked in the reflection in the mirror and saw the strangest thing I had ever seen in my life. Jill was now on the other side of the mirror. A man grabbed her roughly and kissed her deeply on the mouth. Now was my turn to stare. The guy looked so much like me. He was even dressed the same way I was, in a black leather outfit. His long hair was in a ponytail just like mine, but he was definitely male. He looked up from kissing Jill, and it was like looking at a male version of myself. My doppelganger, in the reflection, smiled and winked at me. And just like that, he was gone. That was a few years ago, and to this day, I still can't pass a mirror without looking at the reflection and trying to spot the narcissist sissy and my male doppelganger.
All right, and that was The Sissy's Reflection, written by me and recorded by Victoria Vaughn. Like I said, I really love her voice and can't wait to have her writing some more. And since we have Mistress DJ here, the last story on the free podcast is from Mistress DJ. And one of my favorite memes I have been seeing everywhere has been the Spirit Halloween store ads. If there is a building somewhere, I have seen a meme with a Spirit Halloween coming soon on it. So the Sears Tower or Willis Tower in downtown Chicago had one the other day, in a meme. So the next story is called The Halloween Spirit, and it's about exactly that type of store. And Mistress DJ, can you explain it to me?
Well, so it's about, and this is co-written with Shayla, Ms. Shayla Espaja. Yeah, and it's about the two of us having a job at a Spirit Halloween store. Two young women that tend to be a little dominant, big surprise. But they're working at the Spirit Halloween store. They encounter a pretty poorly behaved group of young men, and you can imagine where it goes. But we take some of the accoutrements from the Spirit Halloween store and... well, let's just say we turn them into well-known, I don't know how to put it tactfully, so I'll just say well-known sluts from the past in presidential history. So, yeah, we go historical with it and transform them into, you know, historical sluts from presidential past. And it's fun. It's a fun ride. And I enjoyed riding with Shayla, and she's always fun to double dom with. So nice. I think they'll enjoy it. Yeah.
All right. So for those of you who like a little bit of historical knowledge and background with your forced feminization, here is The Halloween Spirit by Mistress DJ and Shayla Espaja.
Halloween Spirit, written by Mistress DJ and Shayla Espaja, published by Candy Apple Press, copyright 2023. Shayla and DJ worked together at Spirit. It was funny because they were both pro-doms, so their version of dressing up to work was wearing their everyday dom attire. People didn't give them a second look because they figured they were costumes from the store. It was Halloween and the store had been surprisingly quiet. Shayla went over and put on a new pot of hot cider, while DJ set out some cinnamon sticks. The sky was overcast and ominous. There was a cold wind blowing, so ladies figured the hot cider would be appreciated. The morning was pretty uneventful. The highlight was dressing a woman's twins as Thing 1 and Thing 2. Both Shayla and DJ fondly remembered that book from childhood, plus the twins were kind of impish. Then a group of young men came in. The first thing the ladies noticed was that they were all wearing MAGA hats. "Oh boy," Shayla muttered. They all had to jump up and slap the door frame. "Oh, joy," DJ responded with sarcasm dripping from her tongue. The group was making all the motion sensor animatronics go off and laughing like hyenas. "Let me guess, at least one of them's going to be Tiny Hands." Shayla chuckled at her sarcasm. "Nice to know you're holding firm to your dislike of the maggots." "Indeed," DJ said, proceeding to follow the group. "Can I help you gentlemen find anything?" DJ asked with the friendliest tone she could muster. "Well, I want to go as Trump, the best prez ever," the tallest boy said. "Yeah," DJ mumbled, leading him over to the collection. "I want to be Reagan," the young man with dark hair answered. "I gotcha," DJ answered, leading him to the mask. "There's no suit for him, but any suit'll do, unless you're doing retired Reagan, who wore cowboy shirts and jeans." "He did?" the young man asked wide-eyed. DJ rolled her eyes. "And what can I get for you?" DJ asked the third shortest one. "Oh, I'm going to go as Biden and wear everything backwards," he smiled a cheeky grin. "Gotcha. Here you go." DJ returned to the cashier's area where Shayla was ringing up a customer. "Oh, this group is real charming," DJ huffed. "I figured as much with the hats," Shayla grimaced. DJ went to the back to get candy to fill up the dish. The group approached the cashier area and began immediately harassing Shayla. "Hey there, sexy, nice cheat cheese," the tallest one said. Ignoring the crude remark, Shayla rang him up. "That'll be $40.68. "Yeah, bitch, 68 and I'll owe you one," he said, reaching out and trying to grab at her left breast. "Excuse me? Stop that," Shayla exclaimed, slapping his hand away. DJ heard the commotion and hit the panic button that locked the front door. She had an idea. The other two young men weren't any more polite, trying to play grab-ass and making rude comments. DJ walked up and stood alongside Shayla. "I think we should invite them to our house for the Halloween party," DJ said, making eye contact with Shayla so she'd get the hint. "Oh, yeah, I agree. Would you fellas like to come to our house later tonight?" Shayla asked in a sugary sweet tone. "Hell no," the short one proclaimed. "What are you guys, like 30? Old as fuck." Come on, guys, let's go. They all headed to the door and darn near landed on each other when the door stopped their exit. What the? The dark-haired one asked, looking at the two women. I insist, DJ said. The door is locked, and there's no way you're getting out. So either you accompany us, or I'll call our local boys in blue and tell them you were stealing. You wouldn't dare, the tall one barked. DJ picked up her cell phone and dialed 911 and showed them. Shall I hit send? Fine, we'll go, the tall one said. He seemed to be the leader. Shayla looked at DJ quizzically. If you could go get some cuffs and the executioner bags, DJ asked Shayla. Shayla grinned. Got it. After cuffing all three behind them and putting the blackout sacks over their heads, Shayla and DJ led them out to DJ's SUV. It didn't take long until they were at DJ's house. The guys were trying to guess where they were going, but DJ purposely took a few wild turns to throw them off. After escorting them into her house, she led them down into her dungeon that was once an unfinished basement. You can't keep us, the shortest one complained. Yanking the bags off their head, DJ said, you're free to leave after the trick-or-treating tonight, but you're going to be decorations. Fuck you, the dark one yelled. Richie, stop, the dark one ordered. You're only making this worse. Richie, huh? DJ walked over to the dark-haired one. I fucked a guy in college named Richie. He was a good time. Richie scowled in discontent. Oh, because we both shot you down? Now we're old and repulsive, huh? Shayla said, feigning sadness. No one said that, the short one said. I'm Mike. And you? Shayla asked the tall one. Craig, ma'am, he said softly, looking like he's about to cry. Ma'am, I like that, Shayla said, turning on her heel. So, Deej, what's the plan? You see three spoiled, snotty, obnoxious maggots. I see Stormy Daniels, Marilyn Monroe, and Monica Lewinsky. Who? The three practically said in unison. Exactly, DJ said, amused. All right, Craig, you first, Shayla said, leading him into the bathroom, still cuffed. You work on him, I'll work on Biden here, DJ said, grabbing Mike. Shayla knew that she was going to transform this tall, lanky guy into Stormy Daniels, so she brought up an image. First things first, let's get rid of that body hair. Shayla grabbed a bottle of Nair and began slathering it all over him. DJ took Mike over to the makeup table and began by giving him a close facial shave. Now to give you Marilyn Monroe makeup and hair, DJ said to Mike. She began by using a soft sponge to dab foundation all over his face. Using a big fluffy brush, she set the foundation with powder. Lining Mike's lips with Kylie Jenner's red velvet, DJ finished his perfect Marilyn pout with Max Factor's Marilyn. She had him blot, then topped his lips with gloss. Next was eyeliner and false eyelashes, both by Max Factor. Once his face was finished, she walked over to the closet and got out a Marilyn-esque wig. Securing it with wig glue, she said, perfect. Now for the outfit. DJ walked into the closet and came out with a knockoff from the dress in the 7-year itch. You know, the one that notoriously blew up. After getting him all dressed, she leaned over and whispered in his ear. Hiking his skirt up, she wanted to make a point of capturing a photo of Mike with an erection, while fully dressed. Why'd you take my picture? Mike protested. Consider it an insurance policy, DJ answered. Shayla paraded Craig out with a remarkable reveal. She had her new Stormy Daniels, formerly Craig, in the court outfit, where she admitted everything, then proceeded to do a press conference about Trump's shortcomings. I can't believe this, Craig whined. Did you get some proof? Shayla asked DJ. You know I did, DJ said, showing her the phone. Monica time? Shayla asked. Hell yeah. DJ fished out a blue dress while Shayla worked on styling Richie's wig into the Monica bouffant. She put an ample amount of lipstick on him and proceeded to match his nails, lips, and handbag. DJ finished the outfit by getting a handful of jizz lube and throwing it on the dress. The two doms laughed so hard they both snorted. Richie spoke up. What do we have to do to get away from you crazy bitches? First off, Shayla admonished, it's ladies, not bitches. And secondly, that's up to DJ. DJ said with excitement in her voice, let's go, everyone upstairs for trick-or-treat fun. Yeah, fun, yippee. Oh, just great, were some of the mumbles they heard on their way up. DJ set up a huge fan in the front yard and positioned Marilyn in front of it so it would blow up his dress. You better hold that down, Marilyn. You don't want anyone to see a surprise. Monica was set up in an oval office-type area outside. While the trick-or-treaters wouldn't get it, the parents would likely get a good chuckle. Finally was Stormy. They positioned her on the courthouse steps, holding her hands representing very small. Trick-or-treating went well, much to the chagrin of the guys and to the pleasure of the women. Afterwards, Richie tore off his outfit, grabbed his clothes, and ran out. Well, so much for the after-party, Shayla said with a wink to DJ. I know. It's a pity, DJ said, running her hand over Mike's hair, now that the wig was off. Well, what do you mean? Craig asked, sounding concerned. Well, Trump, you are pretty insistent that we, well, at least Shayla was very attractive this afternoon, so I think it's only right that you pleasure her, DJ directed with a serious tone in her voice. Yes, yes, ma'am, he said, crawling over between Shayla's legs. Do I have to do that too? I'm engaged, Mike protested. No, but you do need to massage my feet, DJ said with a smirk. Fair enough, we were assholes earlier, Mike said as he began kneading the sole of her foot. As the evening wore on, Shayla had orgasmed twice and DJ was nearly asleep. The fellas took their leave after being dismissed. As they walked past the ring camera on the outside of DJ's house, they were overheard saying, that's the stuff Wet Dreams up, bro. As they walked past the ring camera on the outside of DJ's house, they were overheard saying things like, that's the stuff of Wet Dreams, bro. Damn, she has a great body. This is something like penthouse forums. I thought that stuff was made up. The two women giggled and gave each other a lazy high five. What a Halloween.
This is going to be the biggest pain in the ass of all of mine to edit, because it's going to have five stories and six segments, or five segments. Yeah. So it's we have so many windows open, but that's okay. Because at least I'll have it early in the Sunday morning, and it's not like I had it at 9 o'clock and try and figure out how to get it up before, I go to bed.
Exactly. You got all the pieces. Now it's just assemble it, right?
Right. And we're only at 27:37 for our recording, and that's with a decent amount of pauses and talking between. So,
right.
All right. So we're just gonna pick up with the ending then, and like I said, this will be the same ending for both of them, and probably just a reminder that there are a ton of audios on Clips for Sale, and a ton of books on Amazon from us with Halloween themes.
Okay.
All right, so this brings us to the end of another exciting Halloween show. And a reminder for people, especially on the free podcast, I always take off the months of November and May. And that is why we are on season 9 of the free podcast, despite the fact that it's only like 4 years old or something like that. Because I've been doing, two seasons a year for a while now. There will be no new ones, no new recordings in November. And if you are listening on the premium podcast, there will definitely be new recordings. They will probably also be out of the Amazon collection, like the ones from May were, because those have never been aired in their entirety on the free podcast. So even if you've been a loyal listener for years, you won't have heard them. And then come December, we'll be back. And like I said, I've already got a new story from Jen. I have Raina with a story that she's working on. I have Shayla and DJ, and I have Pamela. There are so many narrators with stories, and I love that. My favorite with the podcasts is when it's a different person every week, and they're bringing their own style and their own voice, you know, to everything we're doing. So something to look forward to in December. And one last thing about Halloween. Like I said, we've written so many Halloween stories and recorded a lot too. We were talking about our favorites, but just today I was looking and there must be like 30 Halloween stories that I've published. And that's a lot. So if you're interested, you can find audios, you can find stories. The stories are mostly on Amazon. The audios are mostly on Clips for Sale. But do check those out. I know you've got a couple also that aren't even with Candy Apple Press. Is that right, Mistress DJ, for Halloween?
I do have some Halloween-themed things, but most of my Halloween stuff is with Candy Apple Press. The stuff that I write, and you can find that under Mistress DJ on Amazon. It's easiest if you just find it through Kylie, quite honestly. If you're already shopping with Candy Apple Press, just click on our collaborations, and you can find me that way. I do have a couple of crossovers. Most of my October stuff, though, is related to Locktober, not so much Halloween.
Which, that's another option, too. So I know that writing these collaborations with DJ, or when I was writing with Claudia, and you have not seen the last of her, or I have one coming out with Pamela. I love the collaborations. What we were talking about before on the premium podcast about how it's exciting again when I hear it with somebody else's voice. It's fun to write with another person. And it's really fun when you read what they wrote and you're like, I wasn't going to take the story in that direction at all. How do I make this story work now? Or when you cackle evilly and try to write them into a corner to see what they come up with.
I'm gonna have to remember that the next time we work together.
It's fun. I did one way back in the day with Mindy Harris and Alyssa Page, and we went three people back to back to back called 31 Flavors, and it was so much fun trying to leave the next person off in a just a terrible situation. And the funniest thing is when people would read that, they were always surprised that there were three writers, because it did flow really well despite us trying to make it hard for each other.
Now, so far you're in my collaborations are that way as well, so yes. Even though our writing styles are a little different. Yeah,
well, that's good. I mean, I like having having slightly different ones. And the one that we wrote about Mia's College Sissy we did recently, that was a lot of fun. There's just been a lot of real, you know, definitely check out the collaborations, because they're definitely different than just one of us writing. So thank you so much for stopping by, Mistress DJ, even if it is only virtually. I think the podcasts are a lot of fun when I have, you know, a guest, especially one who is so charming and knows so much about the content for the show.
I love Halloween and I love femdom, and this combines the two. So I'm here for the party.
All right. So thanks so much for listening, everybody. As I said before, I will be back in December. I want to say it's December 2nd might be the 3rd. I don't remember, whichever the first Monday or Sunday in December is. And then straight on till May. So if you can hold off for a month, I'll be back until May. And I appreciate you listening. I can't believe how big this podcast has grown since it started off with like 70 people listening to 10 minutes of an audio. It's gotten quite large. We're over 200 episodes on the free one, and you know, I don't know how many hours of content we have available in the premium right now, but it's probably close to 50. So, thanks for listening. I hope you have a great Halloween. And Mr. CJ, again, thanks for stopping by. I hope you have a great one too. Bye-bye.